Hello, I'm Emma Duncan. To discuss what we should be doing about climate change over the next decade, I'm joined in the studio by Dave Frame, the Deputy Director of the Smith School of Enterprise and the Environment at the University of Oxford, by Tom Burke, who's the Founding Director of E3G, an environmental policy advisor to Rio Tinto PLC and a visiting professor at Imperial and University Colleges London, and Charlie Cronick, Chief Policy Advisor for Greenpeace. Dave, can you tell us a bit about the Smith School and what your objectives there are?
Yeah, we're a new school. We only opened the doors in October last year. But what we're trying to do is mainstream climate and environment issues. So I think there's a bit of a concern that you see sometimes when you look at environmental programs around the world, that they tend to produce quite good broad students, but ones who end up in a bit of a green ghetto and not necessarily in the mainstream of strategic thinking or policy making. And what we're trying to do is take excellent environmental scholarship and add that to mainstream degrees. So each of our fellows teaches in a regular department rather than a specifically environmental department. And the aims of the Institute are to do excellent environmental scholarship, but also to inform strategic decision making in business and academia, because I think there's a feeling that there's something of a disconnect sometimes between what goes on in environmental science and strategy.
Thanks for that. Tom, tell us a bit about the perspective that you're coming from.
Well, I work a lot with E3G, which is an organisation I helped to found. And in a way, E3G is exactly the kind of outfit we need to do to solve the problem, because what our particular role as, in a sense, an environmental NGO is to bring together government and business and NGOs, other opinion formers, to actually shape the outcomes. So in a sense, our focus is not on changing headlines, not on stirring up trouble, not on deep research into the sort of economics or the science, very much on how do you bring together all of those actors that have to play a part in solving what I think people now recognise pretty widely is one of the most complicated and difficult problems humanity has ever faced. And in particular, I think one of the things that we've tried very much to do is to get climate change and energy policy, because they really go together, they're two sides of the same coin, is to take them out of the green ghetto so that they're not seen simply as an environmental issue, but they're actually seen as an issue that is about the prosperity and security, actually not just of 60 million Britons, but of indeed of 6.5 billion people on the planet. So it's to get an understanding of the scale of response that we need and why that is justified as a scale of response.
Charlie, where are you coming from on this issue?
Well, Greenpeace is a pretty well-known brand, I guess, to some people. It's a 30-plus-year-old environment activist movement that was founded on the basis of direct action, which, in contrast to what Tom and Dave have both referred to as their core business, is not usually thought to be about deep analysis or, getting outside the green ghetto. We may even have started the green ghetto. I think in the 30 years since that Greenpeace has been going, we cover a rather a larger patch than that, although a big part of what Greenpeace does is still to cause trouble and is still to kind of cause disruption in the best possible sense, at least I hope it's the best possible sense, where continuity and incremental change, although easy on institutions, isn't actually very effective when you're facing something of the scale of the challenge of climate change. But having said that, as well as buying up bits of land in the in critical places for the expansion of, say, the new runway at Heathrow, we're also doing policy work on the role of large-scale renewables or decentralized generation in the energy mix. So we cover an awful lot of bases, not just in the UK, but in around 40 countries around the world. So we are a genuinely global outfit.
Well, those are three very good, deep, broad perspectives to have with us today. To set the context a bit, over the past decade, climate change has changed dramatically and hasn't changed at all. Changed in the sense that it has risen up the political agenda radically. So many people at so many levels of society all around the world are now aware of this as an issue that we need to deal with in a way they really weren't 10 years ago. And yet, in policy terms, not as much has happened as we really need it to. So at the moment, in the UK and all around the world, we're struggling with a whole range of issues. Should we be talking about mitigating climate change, or should we be talking about adapting to it, or both? And where does the balance lie? Energy provision. How do we satisfy our energy needs and at the same time avoid serious irreversible climate change? Aviation policy, how do we deal with the rise in air travel? Carbon trading, is that the right way to go, or do we need taxes? How do we need to change human behaviour in order to avert serious climate change? And right now, sitting as we are on the day that Barack Obama is being inaugurated as the new president of the United States, the first president of the United States to commit himself seriously to doing something about this, we're at a really exciting moment. Tom, can you talk to us a bit about what you think needs to be done now and in the next few years?
I think you're exactly right about the excitement and the optimism that Barack Obama is bringing with him, and that sense that, you know, there are difficult problems, but we can actually do something about them. And of all the problems we have, climate change is the most difficult. People worry, quite understandably, about the recession. But, you know, recessions pass. Climate change is forever. If we destabilise the climate, as we're threatening to do, to the point where it actually won't support the kind of civilisation we enjoy today, we can't go back and say, oops, that was a mistake, let's do something else. Let's start again. There's no rewind button, as people say, on the climate. Now, what Barack Obama, I think, has really understood is that there is a tremendous linkage between what you've got to do for economic recovery and what you need to do for the climate. And it resolves that dilemma, you said, between economic growth, which needs energy, and a stable climate, which needs not to add more carbon. And so he's leading the charge in taking the world off the dependence on oil. And if the rest of the stimulus packages align with that and pursue that same goal from Europe, from China, from elsewhere in the world, then I think there's a real prospect that we will start with Obama the transition to the low carbon economy, which is what we need to do if we want to have prosperity and security, not just for our children, but even for ourselves.
Dave, it may be today, this very optimistic day, that's affecting Tom, but he's taking a very hopeful line on this one. Do you see things in the same way that he does?
Mostly. I think the thing I'd disagree with at the start of the thing was actually something you said about that not much has happened. I think one of the things that we have to realise is the scale of the problem is enormous, and carbon, the release of fossil carbon is different from all the other environmental problems we've faced before, because the range of processes, the number of actors are so much more vast than in, say, ozone destruction or sulfate aerosols. But I think given the scale of the problem, we need to work on a whole range of fronts and in a whole range of different ways to come up with sensible solutions. And I think there has been a lot of work on policy thinking, and companies have spent a lot of time thinking about beginning to engage with the problem. And that's partly because of the Tom and I both mentioned the Green Ghetto, but you should also give credit to the NGO community for having raised the climate change issue up the agenda. And I think that's forced companies to think about their carbon footprint and to think about what their influence on carbon is. And there's beginning to be some real movement on those fronts. And given that it's only really not even 10 years since the third assessment report of the IPCC really showed some smoke and gun evidence for the existence of climate change, I think actually a lot of the global community has moved quite fast to at least engage with the issues. And I think it's important that we continue to develop thinking and to try and come up with rich perspectives that will enable us to grow sustainably, rather than strike necessarily just while the iron's hot because it's hot. So I think the thing I'd like to see from Obama is well thought through policy. And I think I'm sure he'll have the time to do that. But I think developing coherent strategies around the world and tying in other really important global issues such as trade and development into climate policy is really going to be one of the key challenges that his administration is going to face and that the EU will face in the next 10 years.